Tyler Cavalitz and Chaz McNeil here. First of four episodes of the FMSN coverage of the 2024 MAC Baseball Tournament is what we're calling it. I guess it's a podcast series, just a little almost diary recaps of each day, I would call it.
Yeah, it's not going to be super long form. It's the longest of the long form you could get, but it's not. It's meant to be more bite-sized. You can just sit, turn it on, and just listen to our lucid tones.
Yeah, so we were both here in Avon today covering the MAC baseball tournament. We'll be here the next at least 3 days, possibly 4 days if we have to go to Sunday. But we sat through it all. There were only two games, but it definitely felt like more because of that two-hour rain delay to end everything.
Yeah, we definitely sat through it all. That first game, I really think we took for granted how fast that first game felt. You have Ball State just absolutely manhandling Toledo, getting the job done. And then we get to the Kent game against Miami of Ohio, and it's going pretty slow. It was, I believe we checked, it was an hour and for two innings. And then, you know, it's going, it's getting there. And then just a massive thunderstorm crashes in. You're stuck in your chairs for 2 hours. And then the wrap-up to the game is only like 20 minutes. It's how baseball goes, it's baseball's going to baseball, but at the end, you just have to feel like the wind's taken out of you.
And Chaz, I kind of wanted to focus on that for a second, because that's what we were worried about today and this week. It looks like the weather's cleared up for the rest of the week, but we thought we were going to get away with it without any weather. Like you mentioned, 2 hours, 20 minutes is the time of the first game between Toledo and Ball State. 5 hours, 27 minutes is what it took for Kent State and Miami, and it wasn't really the rain, because there's a turf field here at Crusher Stadium in Avon. It was the amount of thunder and lightning, and it was heavy there for a good hour straight.
That's right. The sky was just lighting up every other second. Nobody really knew what was going on. And the only time we really knew that they were shutting things down was when the team ended up going up the spiral staircase we were next to and going to take a breather. So it was a very interesting time for sure, and maybe it ended up changing the outcome of the game, but from start to finish, it felt like Miami of Ohio had that game in their clutches, and then 5 hours later, they ended up taking it away with them.
And going back to the first game, that was one that we were kind of interested in because we saw Toledo play three times against Bowling Green, in Bowling Green and at Fifth Third Field in Toledo. We hadn't really seen Ball State play. We'd heard about them. We know that Bowling Green put up 34 against them in the beginning of the season, but that's before they hit their stride. But that Ball State team looked pretty impressive today.
And that's right. The number one name you've got to remember for this tournament is Beaker. Merritt Beaker played a complete game today for Ball State and only allowed one hit. He pulled a one-hitter today against a Toledo team that has been struggling offensively. You can give them that. Garrett Pike has not been able to get things going. You also look at Trey Wright unable to get things going. We saw against his brother in the Bowling Green series. But at the end of the day, this Toledo team was fighting for the two seed going into last Thursday. It's not even a week removed that they were a potential two seed. Now they're the six, and they just managed to get swept away by Ball State and their ability to make plays when it needed. That consistent pitching made it able that guys like Hallquist was able to just smack a homer. That was a single homer. It was only one run. But at the end of the day, that got the job done. They put up five runs, and that was way more than they needed.
And I feel like Toledo, thinking about it, I mean, of course, the great performance by Beaker, 12 strikeouts, a one-hitter, 107 pitches. Like, I don't know if we're not going to see a better pitching performance this tournament. I think we can put that out there. But Toledo, I think, is the perfect example of, we always talk about you want to peak at the right time. It feels like they're just not hitting any cylinders right now. Feels like the bottom's fallen out of this team, especially offensively. You mentioned Garrett Pike. We saw him struggle against Bowling Green for most of that series. 0 for 4 here today. Luke Walden, Scott Makowicz, both 0 for 4 with 4 strikeouts. It feels like the hottest guy in the lineup is the guy who got the hit, Charlie Shulvin, who started as the 9-hole hitter in the final series of the season. So if you're Toledo, you need to find production out of that lineup somewhere, and I'm just not sure who's going to give it to them to keep them alive right now.
Yeah, it's a very tough time for this Toledo team because, like I said before, you're at the top of the world, and then you end up struggling to just tear away a single win against a team that, correct me if I'm wrong, ended up winning 2 out of 3. Didn't Toledo ended up beating Ball State?
I believe they did, yeah.
2 out of 3.
But see, that was another case where Ball State, they're a team that's peaking at the right time. They kind of were in average team. Like, I remember beginning of the season, they were a team that were lower in the standings, but they worked their way up silently. But yeah, I believe Toledo, they had a lot of success against Ball State in their series.
And you could tell that this Ball State team was not messing around, especially with that was the one game that Bowling Green actually came to watch, was that Ball State-Toledo game. We talked about how Garrett maybe had wanted to watch his brother Trey, but besides that, that Ball State team, if they managed to get past Western Michigan, they could be a genuine problem. Ball State looking to repeat as MAC tournament champions, that would be massive for them and for the Falcons. You're looking for a MAC tournament win. You're the best team in the MAC, the one seed. You've got to find ways to out-scout your opponents. And I believe that rain delay helped a lot, especially for this upcoming matchup the Falcons have against Miami.
Yeah, that's going to be a big storyline tomorrow when you look at all these teams will be playing. And it's how much is that rain delay going to affect them? Because, I mean, you sit there for 2 hours and you don't finish the game until, I think it was like just past 11 o'clock is when we ended up wrapping this one up. But looking at the day as a whole, what are your big takeaways? So we have this facility that we got the tour around for the first time, look at a lot of these teams for the first time, just overall on this tournament experience through one day.
I've got two things. Number one, it's not going to be easy for any of these teams to win a MAC tournament title. It's going to be very difficult. You look, every single team, they've got their ups and downs, but in the end, every team looks like they're playing tough. We're going to see what Bowling Green and Western Michigan have tomorrow, but just watching the sample size, maybe besides Toledo, and they'll probably figure things out. We've seen them dominant. Every team is playing very tough, and you expect that in the tournament. The second thing is maybe if you have a tournament near a big body of water where there could be a lot of plants and pollen, bring some allergy meds. Bring an allergy pill or two. You might need it.
Now see, why do you say that, Chaz? Just so all of the listeners, all the people listening to this know. Because I know the answer to this, but you got to give them a little context here.
Well, if you can't tell, there's a little sniffle going on in here. And that is because I have sneezed at least every minute.
I wanted to have a counter on this, but by the time I wanted that, I think he sneezed about 25 times. You had to have sneezed over 250 times today.
It is taking all of my willpower to not sneeze right now. And it's also taking all of my willpower when we were filming our social media posts on BG_FMSN. We had a lot of posts go out, and almost every single time, halfway through, I either did sneeze or I just had to
buckle down. You kind of look like Beaker, I think his name is, from the Muppets, the guy with the rectangle head, at behind the camera as I was recording mine, because you were trying to clench your face and keep from sneezing. It was pretty entertaining.
I mean, I'm a man of the people. You gotta do what has to be done. So I think lessons were learned today. But Tyler, what's your biggest takeaway?
I think I agree with you that this tournament's going to be really hard to win. I also have two more to add on. The offense, I don't know if it was just because the conditions today or the pitching today, but today just pointed at how important pitching really is going to be in this, because we know offense comes and goes, but if you can have solid starting and relief pitching, you're going to have a real big shot to win this. Because you look at Ball State, they haven't gone to their bullpen yet. We talk about the advantage of byes. Well, Ball State's going to be as fresh as those teams because you've only used your ace. That's it. Their entire bullpen is fully rested still. And you look at teams like Miami that has that pitching depth. Kent State is a good offense. They were not able to really do anything of substance against Miami because of how good their pitching staff is. The other takeaway I have is the facility that we're at, Crusher Stadium. I feel like it's the perfect size facility for a MAC tournament. And this is something that I don't agree with the other ones. I think I like where they have the basketball and football tournament championships. They're really good venues. Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse is one of my favorite sporting venues to attend. But they are just so massive for a mid-major conference tournament. This place, I think the attendance here is, the capacity is about 5,000, I believe. And the attendance numbers we have, we don't have one for the first game, actually. And it's about 1,000 for the second game. It just feels like the right-sized venue for a tournament like this.
And you're right. It especially for the MAC and for baseball as a whole, getting people in seats is a lot more difficult than maybe a football or a basketball.
Especially for a tournament setting, saying, yeah, hey, come out to this 4 straight days.
So I think the size of the stadium lends itself to that. And we were talking before about 5th/3rd Field, the home of the Mudhens, where the Falcons just played the Rockets on Friday. I mean, it's a completely different feeling.
Mm-hmm.
Both similar styles, obviously not the exact same level of baseball, but both are, you know, minor league baseball teams. But 5th/3rd Field, just the enormity of it, you'd feel like that would be a good venue to schedule a MAC tournament baseball game. But really, it would just end up overwhelming and swamping everything. And I believe you're right. With the size that this is, it's perfect. And we were talking about the size of the field. It lends itself to maybe some big bomb home runs later on in this tournament.
Yeah, and we only saw, was it one home run today, I think?
It was Hallquist.
I think he's the only home run today. I mean, we only had 2 games, but it's kind of surprising. It's only 325 down the lines here and 400 to center. So it's a very, if you look at dimensions-wise, it would be a home run-friendly field. So if the wind's pushing the right way, because we're not that far off from Lake Erie, it definitely could lend itself to some long balls, like you said. But before we wrap up this first of 4, I guess we can call it, episodes, we'll go with that, additions, whatever we want to do, what are you most looking forward to tomorrow and on day 2 of the MAC baseball tournament?
I mean, this is selfish, but I want to see the Falcons play. I want to see how Bowling Green can do in a tournament environment, especially if you look at their past couple of series. Ever since Bowling Green lost their first MAC game against Ohio, they kind of just struggled to, they were still a great offense, but you saw the offense tailed off a little bit. They began to fall back to reality. Still probably the best baseball team in the MAC. But at the end of the day, they dropped a series to Western Michigan and a series to Kent State. And wouldn't you know it, both of those teams are in the MAC tournament still. Ball State, they faced that team early. They put 34 runs on him. That team is going to be angry.
And that's a different team now, too, than when they put up 34 runs again against them.
Exactly. It's like every team has their own vendetta against the Falcons. Toledo lost 4 straight to Bowling Green. You don't think they want to get their own piece back? The first team that started this entire Falcon 17-game run was Miami. So every single team is going to want a piece, and I want to know how Bowling Green reacts to that.
I fully agree with you that. Looking forward to seeing the Falcons finally, because we've seen them all regular season, finally see them back on the tournament stage for the first time in a very long time. But this is not all the coverage that we are providing, just these recap episodes. We have coverage throughout every single day of this Mid-American Conference baseball tournament on site at Crusher Stadium in Avon Lake, Ohio. You can find all of our coverage by Chaz and I at Falcon Media Sports Network's Twitter or X account, whatever we want to call it nowadays. I think it's officially X. Still a lot of people will call it Twitter. The handle for that account is BG_FMSN. So go give that a follow. Go check it out. and you'll find all of our coverage for this entire tournament right over there.